just to remind ourselves that we are concentrating on the Holy Father's apostolic exhortation on consecrated life. The subdivision of this exhortation is based on the principal mysteries of our faith. And the most fundamental mystery is the life, passion, death, resurrection of Christ here on earth, and then our destiny, which is, having followed Christ fully in this world, we are to possess him and enjoy his company fully in the life to come. Our first question here, therefore, is, what do consecrated persons learn from the cross of Jesus Christ? If there is one underlying theme in this exhortation, it is the cross here on earth as a condition for glory in the life to come. Back to the question, what do consecrated persons learn? Notice is in the mind. Learn from the cross of Jesus Christ. They learn that the more they stand at the foot of the cross of Christ, the more two important adverbs, the more immediately and profoundly they experience the truth of God who is love. There are three words, therefore, that go together, and I would add indispensably. They are cross, truth, and love. If we join Christ in carrying our cross here on earth, we shall learn the truth. The divinely ordained condition for enlightening the mind about the truth is accepting the cross here on earth. Or with ears, without making a homily out of it. Other languages have their word for truth. Ours begins with a T. The cross is the condition for learning the great big T, the truth. And behind that truth is that we are here on probation. In Latin we use the word, we are viatores, we are on the via, on the way. We are not. How many people I've told this to, because I've got to keep telling it to myself. We are not in heaven yet. The truth is that we are to expect God's will to cross our wills here on earth. That's the truth. And then it is not just truth generically, it is the truth of God. The most fundamental truth we need to learn on earth is the truth of who God is, for that there is a God. The truth of who God is, that God is both our cause and our goal. We come from Him and we are destined for Him. But hear it, none of us made the choice to come into the world. It's just as well. Some people, I'm afraid, would have decided, thanks, let me remain the nothing that I am now. We have no choice about coming into the world, but we do have a choice about the destiny for which we were made. Two prepositions are at the heart of our faith. They are the prepositions from and for. We came from God and we are made for God. But between coming from God and reaching God, we must love Him. And love Him, what words shall I use? We are to love Him as He wants us to love Him. We are to love Him by a new supply of the verbs. Surrendering, giving up, releasing, in a word, sacrificing our wills to His will. One of my favorite definitions of the cross. Letting go our wills to conform to the will of God. We continue. What especially does consecrated life reflect? It especially reflects the splendor of God's love for the human race by the mystery of the cross. Oh, please, Holy Father, we've heard this before. Can't you tell us something new? Then he hits us over the head. Wake up. That's what your life here on earth is all about. Giving in to me. Surrendering your will to my will. But let me tell you, it took me years to begin to learn what this means. It means that everything, and I mean everything, and I mean everything in our lives is part of God's mysterious providence. It is not coincidental that, and I feel safe, we were all born in the present century. Agreed? Some further back, some more recently. Could we have come into the world, just change after your birthday, change the AD to a BC. God planned from all eternity that we would come into the world in, well, our year of birth, in the 20th century. We have our fathers and mothers. Could we have had a different mother? Millions of possibilities. A different father. Another. Millions of possibilities. Everything. To understand this is to begin to really understand what our life here on earth is all about. Everything has been, I hate to use the verb, programmed by God. And we are told, consecrated life especially reflects the splendor of God's love for the human race by the mystery of the cross. If God did not love us, we wouldn't be here. If God did not love us, He would not have put, I was going to say, the characters that He put into our lives. They are all gifts of God's love. And don't tell me these gifts do not cross our wills. Thus, consecrated life helps the church to remain aware how the cross is the superabundance of God's love poured out upon this world. Holy Father, we recognize you as the vicar of Christ, but your vocabulary, what are you saying? Consecrated life helps the church to remain aware that the cross is the superabundance of God's love poured out upon this world. How is the cross the superabundance of God's love? Because everything in our lives, no matter how pleasant, that's easy. But how painful it is God's love shown to us. Why? I didn't learn this last night. The more God's love crosses our lives, the more we have the blessed, I have to add, painful opportunity of showing our love for God. God wants us to love Him. Oh, what a difference between loving creatures and loving the Creator. If our lives were one lifetime of, well, superabundant pleasure, that our days here on earth will always be sweet and pleasant, if everyone who touched our lives was, oh, so dearly loving and pleasant and kind and understanding. If our bodies were always in perfect health, if the weather was always pleasant, guess what? We see to ourselves, this is it. How enjoyable life is. God sends us the cross in order that we might, by, I repeat, not just resigning ourselves to the cross, but embracing it, then we are living in a real world. Because the real world here on earth is, what word shall I use? The vestibule, the prelude, pardon me, the condition for our reaching that world for which we exist. We do not exist for this world. Next question. How does consecrated life reveal the meaning of love? As you read these questions and their corresponding answers, you are tempted to think that the Holy Father is just repeating himself. Oh no. There is a different insight into the mystery of our consecrated life in every question that we raise and that he answers. Back to the question, how does consecrated life reveal the meaning of love? Consecrated life reveals the meaning of love in so many persons who undergo, oh Holy Father, not again, who undergo many difficulties and trials, suffer persecution, and even martyrdom out of love for the Savior. When I first read this document, and of course reread it, both in Latin and in English, I was just so happy. Now here's a document that is telling us the unvarnished, unadulterated truth. Their lives change the there to our lives of silent sacrifice and abandonment to God's holy will inspires the world to follow their example of devotion to the needs of their brothers and sisters throughout the world. How many hours, days, I could spend on this last sentence. Everyone in the world, everyone, question, everyone, exclamation mark. Has to carry the cross. Everyone, everyone. And yet, as we know, what a safe statement. Not everyone understands the meaning have difficulties, trials, persecution, even martyrdom. And as I've said so many times, and this is not rhetoric, we are living in the age of martyrs. People now tell me, Father, I and my family travel 30, 40, on one recent occasion, 65 miles to go to a church where I can still identify the sacrifice of the Mass. Oh, the struggle, the trial, that in so many ways you and I are spared. You by living, thank God, in a religious institute that has, through God's mysterious power, remained faithful to Christ's teaching. I thank God more than once for the handmaids of the precious blood. I know what has happened, hear it, to most of the religious communities of women in America. And the word is most. And greater or less measure, most of them have secularized. Only God knows, but He does know when we believe it, that our lives, and then we repeat, of silent sacrifice and abandonment to God's holy will, He inspires the world to follow our example. And they don't have to see us. I am sure that most people outside of New Mexico, and it may be not a few people in New Mexico, would not know where Hamer Springs is. Even in what state? But, as our faith tells us, our lives of loving self-sacrifice to the will of God inspires, God makes sure, by His grace, inspires countless multitudes whom we shall meet only, please God, in eternity, who will thank us for the grace we have obtained for them from the same Christ whom we have loved here on earth, and I keep repeating, by embracing His cross. We continue. How is the sense of mission at the very heart of consecrated life? And this, you might say, is the bifocal theme of the Holy Father's exhortation. Theme number one, we are only as faithful consecrated persons as we love the cross, because we love the God who became man to be nailed to His cross. But secondly, we have a mission. We are not consecrated persons, well, to be consecrated persons and become, well, more loving, more patient, more believing, more trustful, and thus become more holy. No, sanctity is a means to a further end. Our growth in sanctity has a purpose, and that purpose is to be a channel of grace to others. We have a mission. Answer to the question, as 20 centuries of the Church's history shows, the more devoted consecrated persons are to their vocation, the more deeply they sense their mission of evangelization. In this way, they contribute profoundly to the renewal of the whole world. This being the first centennial of the death of the little flower. She died in 1897. Our next issue of the Catholic Faith magazine is all on Saint Therese of Lisieux. And I contributed my share to the issue. Here there is one person, a contemplative, who had a deep sense of mission. It was the little flower. Have not yet, this is an assignment. Read at least one life of the little flower. Reread her own autobiography. And she's not called the little flower just as a poetic expression. She suffered deeply, and hear it, and most agonizingly by the temptations she endured over years. Temptations against what? Temptations against faith. Temptations to make sense of her life. I sometimes tell people she was a martyr of obedience. If her superiors had given her the medical care she needed, she would not have died in the mid-20s of her age, as she did. We continue. What is the special role of consecrated religious? And note the word now, religious. Not every question is worded just as consecrated persons. Because as we've seen, there's a variety and a growing variety of consecrated forms of life in the Catholic Church. But among the forms of consecrated life, there are consecrated religious and bad grammar, but good theology. That's us. What is our special role in today's secularized world? Let me change the pronoun. Our special role is to witness to the vanity of everything in this world, in contrast to the riches of eternity that only God, better, only the God-man, Jesus Christ, can provide. So much of our world, surely our own United States, is living in a dream world. And that's an understatement. I know I've said this more than once, and my research has not changed the figures. 90% of Americans, and they read a great deal, 90% of their reading is fiction to sustain their lives in this dream world in which they are living. They average now 28 hours a week. That includes every man, woman, and child. 28 hours a week watching television. As I've said again more than once, I don't say I've watched, but I've seen priests riveted for hours, hypnotized, sitting in front of and mesmerized by the television screen. And this, as you know, is not a figment of someone's pious imagination. Our special, that's the language of the Vicar of Christ. Our special responsibility is to witness to the vanity of everything. And the key is in this world. Everything in this world will pass away. We will all have eaten our last meal, have taken our last cup of coffee, have slept our last sleep, have risen for the last time in the morning from a night's rest. The last time we will put, well, our religious garb on our bodies. The last time we'll see with our bodily eyes the mountains, the trees, the water, the animals. The last time we will touch a piece of wood or shake hands with another human being. That's why I liked the recent homily, pardon me, the recent gospel we read. Remember when the dead girl was visited by the Savior And Jesus told the people, she's not dead, she's asleep. Well, that's all faith. When our bodies die, what a statement. They are just going to sleep. But then, unlike Christ, who slept in the grave only from Good Friday afternoon till early Easter Sunday morning. And then shall I say it, then, centuries, I believe millennia, after our bodies are buried, the divine alarm will go off. And we'll get up. Everything in our lives takes meaning from our faith in eternal life. Well, no matter what price we have to pay here, I'm not boasting, I'm just stating a fact. Why now, 24 hospitalizations, some several months. Oh, well, part of the price of the ticket for heaven. The misunderstanding, the opposition, and, thank God, the hatred. In my years in the priesthood, I've experienced. As I've said, I'm sure, at least on one occasion, being told by a bishop, John, you know what your problem is? Bishop, you tell me. You have a fixation on dogma. He didn't see it, but I smiled. Bishop, I thank you for the compliment. But behind that statement was being withdrawn from an apostolate that had been years in preparing. Rejection by human beings is part of our life here on earth. My dear friends, do you hear me? We continue. What does the Holy Father say about religious wearing their religious habit? Pope John Paul II is unqualified in telling religious to wear the habit of their particular religious family. He reemphasizes the teaching of the bishops of the Synod on Consecrated Life. He strongly urges men and women religious to wear their proper habit, suitably adapted to the conditions of time and place. I think I've said on some occasion, we have only an 8-day postancy, honest, just 8 days. I entered on the 1st of September Then, walked after the novitiate on the 8th of September. However, they were told, been 8 days in the Society of Jesus. Not all of you have been accepted for the Society. After Mass and breakfast, you go back to your room. No, not room, your cubicle. 6 cubicles in one room. And if you find on your bed, well, the black habit, then you've been admitted to the novitiate. If there's no black habit on your bed, it's not a mistake. You come to the novice master and receive the money you need to go back home. I was on the track team in my younger days. Have you heard about Jesse Owens? Jesse Owens? I think the fastest American in the history of our country. He went to East Tech High School. I went to Cathedral Latin. I ran against Jesse Owens on the track team. I need not tell you who always came out first. I ran up the flight of stairs, pulled away the curtain from my cubicle, and there I saw a black object on my bed. Clean, pressed, but patched. I picked it up and kissed it. And I did the same this morning when I put my habit on. Have been doing this for the last, I can't believe it, for the last 60 years. And so many villages, as we know, as we casually say, have doffed their religious habit. Our habit is not just a sign or symbol to others of who we are. It is mainly a symbol and sign to ourselves. When I see, as I do now, a chapel with sisters, therefore women religious, all dressed alike, and except for my faith, I couldn't believe it, and their hair covered. That is only the grace of God. No two women, I've been told this so many times, I know it by heart, no two women want to be dressed exactly alike. As I think I've told you, and the Hairdressers Association, headquarters based in New York City, in the year's struggle between the women's hat makers and hairdressers, the hairdressers won out. We tell the world who we are. Now, the next question may be surprising. Are there any exceptions to the wearing of the religious habit? Says the Holy Father, yes, there are valid reasons of their apostate call for it. In conformity with our institute, religious may dress in a simple and modest manner, yet in such a way that their consecration is recognizable. That, by the way, is what happened to the missionaries of charity, except, well, they all began to wear the same sari, and pretty soon it became their religious habit. There are places and countries where wearing the religious habit is absolutely forbidden and would have a counter effect. But I repeat, it is a rare exception. Next question, the last one. A big word, but a profound meaning. How important is the eschatological dimension of consecrated life? The word eschatological means that which pertains to our life after bodily death. Eschaton is the goal, the destiny for which we are made. Answer: this eschatological dimension is especially important in our day, when the apostate calls for involvement in temporal affairs. How we need to both hear this and live it. Consecrated persons are to witness to eternal life after bodily death. Their detachment from the things of this world are a powerful testimony to the supreme value of the life that will never end. How our world needs this. If I'll be reminded before I leave Hamer Springs this coming Sunday, I will either get an extra copy or fax a wonderful article in the present issue, or maybe did you get it? Do you get Credo here? It's a newspaper published in Ann Arbor by my good friend Thomas Monahan. And the front page has two pictures. One of Dr. Kevorkian, you know, the doctor of death, promoting euthanasia and assisted suicide. And right next to him is a picture of Mother Teresa. And there's a long article comparing these two people. says Kevorkian. All this talk about preserving our lives is so much nonsense. The body dies, it decays, it stinks. And then we bury this stinking body. And Mother Teresa, our lives here on earth are only a condition and a preparation for the life that will never end. That is why I have dedicated my life and my community to the preservation of the most abandoned human lives here on earth. And how do we show this? This big long word, eschatological dimension of our consecrated life. Our detachment from the things of this world are a powerful testimony to the supreme value of the life that will never end. None of us will ever die. None of us. Our body will die, so what? But our souls live on and on into the endless reaches of eternity. And this is what we religious are to witness to the world. You are made for everlasting possession of the loving God from whose hands we came, and that we here on earth are to embrace the cross, not only that we might reach heaven, but, as I've said so often, bring others to heaven with us, because otherwise, none of us will reach heaven ourselves. Lord Jesus, the everlasting God, we beg you, make us what our vocation tells us we should be, witnesses to that eternal life for which we exist, and witness by our total detachment from everything in this world except as a means of reaching you, our everlasting Lord, to be embraced by your arms, dear Jesus, and never leave your friendship for eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.